on. I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And dad, as we continue along in our series here on temptation, we're kind of following up our introductory portion on the presence of temptation. We need to see something about its ability to inflict harm when it comes to temptation.
Correct.
So basically we want to personify it. We want to add some personality to it and kind of show it to be real and evident. And temptation is attached to something. It's attached to our fallenness, if you want to make that a word.
Right.
And obviously to Satan himself. These things need to be clear so that we understand the power of temptation. It's not just this kind of, you know, thing that hangs out there and then all of a sudden grabs a hold of us. It's real. And it's living and breathing as we speak, you know. So we're just going to kind of be guided by three things, as we typically do, to guide our conversations and help us convey what the Scripture is saying. One is obviously beware of the presumption when it comes to temptation. Personal presumption, I guess, is probably the better way to put that. Pay heed to the warning, and then stay mindful of your potential that we have. So just jumping in here, we're going to be dealing with 1 Corinthians 10:12. And then kind of be more topical here, but we're just going to jump in. Beware of presumption. What do we mean by that? Where can we beware of presumption?
Well, Paul says, let him, therefore, so, and we'll see in a little bit why he says therefore, because it's attached to something for us, a context to this. But he says, therefore, let the one who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. So the emphasis here on think. What's a person? What are we thinking? And in this case, we're thinking presumptuously. Why do I say that? And what are we talking about for us as believers? Whoever might be listening, us here on this podcast.
Right.
Well, how can we be presumptuous? Well, one way people can be presumptuous is just about their salvation. It's just regarding salvation.
So you mean the actual understanding or thinking about your personal salvation, your personal standing.
Yeah, I'm not saying people ought to go around, oh, am I saved, am I saved, am
I
saved? But there is a biblical basis for examining ourselves. And if our lives are marked by sin, dominance of sin, then we shouldn't presume things. I think we could see that illustrated some in that incident in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when Moses is along the mountain. Here are people who are the earthly people of God.
Right.
I mean, they're sons of Abraham, for heaven's sake. You can't get any better than that. But I think they presumed upon that.
Yeah, and I also think we need to realize that anytime you sin, it is a presumption upon who God is.
It is that. That's true.
Now, thank God for his graces and mercy, because he knew that when he saved us and when he provided a way of salvation. But I do think, and I have often, when I had to confess my sin, is, Lord, I presumptuously or I willfully, you know, sinned against you in this area. I know it's wrong. I believe with all my heart it is wrong, and therefore I have done it, and that is willful and presumption among my
David talks
part.
About that in Psalm 19.
Right.
This kind of presumption, this sin that goes right by the red flags, goes right by the knowledge of something being sinful. And so that's part of the presumption, which leads us to the presumption regarding ability. And I think this is something of what Paul is talking about. To presume that we have the ability to live these good lives and that we will do it and we'll just overcome the temptation. I think there can be this presumption of upon our own ability. We need to be careful.
Well, I think there's maybe a presumption on the grace of Christ that you're going to automatically, because of his grace, just automatically not do it, not be, in some ways, not be tempted. And then there's a presumption of your own ability in the sense of that I can do this. I have the self-will and the power to do this. If you didn't have the self-will and the power to do it before you were a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, and you needed Christ. You no less need Christ now.
Yeah, you don't need Christ any less than you did then. But let him who thinks he stands. Okay, so this person.
So obviously we have a standing with Christ.
Yeah.
That's clear. And
him who thinks he stands or stands against sin, who stands firm, take heed. Pay attention. And that's where we're going next.
Okay. Okay, so we don't want to be presumptuous or have presumption in our dealings with temptation or understanding, biblical understanding of temptation. But what about paying heed to the warnings? They're all over Scripture.
Well, that's the point of this. The point of this warning, very brief warning. Take heed. Mm. You know, it's amazing how much can be said in two little words like that. But of course, the warning is that that there's a need for us to do something, and that's what we're focusing on here. I know that people will say, well, we have Christ and we need to depend upon Christ. We're going there. We'll get there. We'll get there later, not today. But right now we're talking about our responsibility. And he gives us a responsibility. Take heed. Pay attention.
You made a comment that I found interesting, and I don't think it's implicitly in the text, but I think it's, you know, you can draw it from the text when it comes to Israel and how they committed idolatry. It's not like they just woke up one morning and committed idolatry.
And said, hey, we're going to be idolaters. Yeah.
Or it's not like we wake up and say, hey, I'm going to commit adultery today.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be an angry person today. Or right. I'm going to do whatever it is.
Right.
You put it in there.
Right.
That just doesn't happen.
Not usually. So unless it's something else, then that's a different thing.
If that's the case, and we have to pay heed to the warnings, how do we do that?
Well, one, be attentive.
Attentive to what?
Well, I just think we have to be attentive to temptation. Attentive to those things that are a temptation to us.
The very reality of it.
Yeah.
Take heed.
Would any true son of Abraham worship a calf?
Right.
But they had seen calves and other things worshipped in Egypt. But they weren't attentive to their own souls, to their own potential. And we'll talk about that more, too, in a moment. But they weren't attentive to the possibility here, to their own weakness and to what was around them. Instead of, I mean, they saw it. I don't think they saw it in terms of it grieving their souls and frightening their souls. You know, so if we're attentive, if you walk into your yard and a snake is coiled up and you see it, you step back, you're afraid because you know what it could do to you. You wouldn't just walk right by it as it's coiled up there because you know if you walk close enough, it's going to strike you. And so you're attentive, and if you walk in a place where there are snakes, you're attentive, or skunks, or anything.
It's like if you're in an area where there's water that could be sharks, or if there's water and it could be alligators,
heads up,
or whatever.
Or jellyfish.
You're aware
of
that.
Yeah.
And it's, if not right here, it's in the back of your mind, and anything that moves are going to catch your attention.
Yeah. And life is full of temptations.
Right.
That, I think so. We have to be attentive, and then we have to be proactive. And that being attentive is part of being proactive.
So don't just wait for it to kind of rear its ugly head at you.
Right. What are we doing in a proactive way to deal with temptation? We believe it's powerful. We believe it has the power to affect us. What are we doing? What are we going to be proactive?
I would say we've experienced it.
Oh, yeah, and we know it by our own experience, exactly.
It's not like it's just a
this is
a
not
theory.
New to us. Yeah.
This is a reality.
Well, I mean, just something as simple as Psalm 1, blessed is the person, the one, the man, who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. And he's doing something, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Both sides of that. He doesn't sit, walk, or stand there. He does delight in the law of the Lord. Again, the psalmist, Psalm 119. And how shall a person not fall into sin? By taking heed to your word. So, and this is, I know you and I've had this discussion. We talk with people, and they'll come up and we want counsel about a particular thing.
Right.
And your first question to them is, are you in the word?
Hmm.
Are you in the word?
You might even take it a step further. Are you memorizing the word? And I think that's something that most Christians, I can attest to this and confess to this, that we struggle with.
Right.
It's mastering the word. It's engrafting the word, if you will.
We will come up with reasons, but I'm not good at memorizing,
right.
Most of it is
we just don't do it.
Take the time. Yeah.
We don't
make the time. So, when it comes to this warning, we need to be attentive, we need to be proactive, we need to learn from what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness and realize that in some sense that can happen to us if we're not taking heed to the warning.
Oh, it will happen.
Exactly.
We're not doing these things. Okay, so we've talked about being aware and paying heed, but now we need to stay mindful of your potential, of our potential. what do we mean by that? Because the reason I say that is we've talked about not presuming upon our own abilities and the salvation that we have, but now we're saying stay mindful of your potential.
Well, and that's in the final part of the verse. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So I think Paul's trying to tell them, don't presume that you don't have the potential to fall.
Well, I mean, think of David. We bring him up all the time because he's such a...
The quintessential
example of a leader / man after God's own heart, the phrase used upon him. But honestly, it is a good example because here's a man who was the guy. He was the dude.
Yeah, he was, the leader. He was Well, I think of what the writer of Proverbs says. He talks about the strange woman. He talks about the young youth who the innocent the one who was naive and followed after her. But when he gets to the end of what he says all those who went after her were strong men. One day I was reading that and it never struck me.
It wasn't like this weak person.
It's not like, oh, it's all these weak people. They're the ones that fall after this foreign woman, this strange woman, this immoral woman.
Yeah.
All who went after her were strong men.
Huh.
Were mighty men.
Interesting.
Now bring that back to here.
So what are we doing? What is our potential?
What's our potential? And it was just, there's more here than we're going to say right now. So we don't want to give pressure. We're giving the whole thing here, but just two or three things. One, the potential to conform.
So would that be what, compromise?
Well, conform and compromise. Conform is incremental compromise.
Right.
A little here, a little there, too. We become like what we're not supposed to be. Mm. But we're all familiar with Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be poured into the world's mode. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so,
there again is what I would say: being proactive, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah. And we want to talk more specifically about that at some point. But what we see here is the old incrementalism happens just little steps at a time. It's gradual. So is the next one: the potential of habits. Those come upon us, the habits we develop. Many of our sins are sins of habit. Anger, whether we look at the wrong men, look the wrong way or look at the wrong thing.
Well, because we've become conformed, now we've developed a habit.
Yeah, eating, overeating, habit. We just eat till we can't eat anymore. You know, we've developed that habit. So, and it could be a number of other things. It could be covetousness.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the issue of eating because I think that is a respectable sin, and I think that we could almost do an entire, when it comes to temptation, an entire episode on respectable sins.
Right.
But you know, you had those weight watching, or I should say weight loss TV reality shows, and it really is an emotional struggle when you watch those people. And I think it's interesting to see that because it is, you're dealing with matters of the heart and the soul. And things have become so ingrained, you're having to peel all that back. And any sin, whatever it is, that's what it is.
Yeah, and then we know what we can get away with. I used that eating habit thing. Several years ago, I lost a good bit of weight. Then I've just been able to maintain. But lately, I've noticed a lack of self-control. I just kind of do what I want.
Right.
And then, I can get away with it. You know, I do get
because
away
I'm
with
where I should be, right?
Yeah, I'm still not all that heavy. I'm still in pretty good shape.
Right.
But that thinking... That's that thinking that can affect
us. It's interesting you bring that up because my wife went through some time of physical issues where she was having trouble with her weight, and it really was not anything that she could control. It was part of some imbalance in her body. Mm-hmm. But one of the comments that people would often tell her, she would say, well, I'm struggling with my weight, and I'm trying to figure out why because I can't seem, no matter what I do, I eat right, I have self-control, blah, blah, blah. And they say, oh, you're not fat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I didn't say it was fat. I just said my body's not where it needs to be.
Yeah,
but that's what people think of. They're comparing themselves, and so therefore they're not looking at it from a biblical perspective.
Right.
And I think we do that with anything in life.
It's still the issue of self-control.
Right.
That's the one thing that keeps coming back to me. Well, fruit of the Spirit is self-control, Charles.
But that's how our mind thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need to.
Habits, what else?
Well, there's the potential of what I'm going to call surprise attack. Surprise attack in the sense that suddenly we wind up sinning, and we refer to that some by the children in the wilderness and about ourselves, but overwhelming temptation. I've had people tell me, I just had this overwhelming temptation. You know, we need what we're doing proactively is preparing us for that. Scripture often...
In some ways, that's not abnormal. I mean, yeah, there are those times you get across the face, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, David, the temptations he went through, I mean, I'm sure the burning desires he had when he went upon the roof were overwhelming, but that was his own heart.
Well, and so with that in mind, I think there's a kind of a threefold thing I want to leave us with. Build, watch, act. Hmm. Build. Jude tells us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. That's a brief but very powerful.
Right.
Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Watch 1 Corinthians 16:13, one of my favorite passages, 13 and 14. Paul tells the Corinthian men, and by implication women, watch, stand fast in the faith, be strong, be courageous, let everything you do be done in love. But he begins with watch. How many times does Scripture tell us to watch? Watch. Heads up. It's like, pay attention.
Hello.
Watch, which we mentioned earlier. Yeah, so, and then he's, then act. And in that same verse he says, at one, the King James says, act like men. The New King James says, act like men. Act. In other words, our action comes out of this, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, watching, being watchful. You know, the centurion or the guard who's guarding the camp can't fall asleep and he can't look away. He has to watch. So we're constantly watching, and then our acting comes out of that. Hmm. So
I like what Piper talks about. He was, if you listen to a series of messages on Romans, and he talks about how Romans talks about dealing with your sin and everything, and it is that as you do what you're supposed to do, then you make the decisions on the things that you just normally do. Like he said, 95% of what we do in life
just happens. We don't stop and think about what
we do. He said, so
you don't have time to pray about it.
If we're going to be careful and only 5% of we're really thinking about, and the other 95% we're not, then we have to prepare ourselves.
Right. We have to be proactive. We have to be building ourselves up, watching, and then acting. And our acting has to come out of our walk
with
Christ.
Because it's not going to happen unless you do that.
It won't happen automatically, that's for sure.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I think this is, again, building those building blocks we want to build as we talk about this issue of temptation. So this is good. We look forward to next week and just kind of go from there as we build on that. So, well, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.